o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. Tausch, welcome back. First of all, how you doing?
I'm good. That was one of the funniest sports centers I've ever heard. Riley gives an update on the top 25, but he has not read it yet. So he said, I will read it and give you an update at the next update.
Yep. Exactly. Well, it just released like 2 minutes ago during like at 11. So I was already in the middle of my read, and I don't just have the time to go on Twitter and be like, oh, what's the AP top 25 preseason poll right now? I don't have the time. So I just had to let them know. I will update them at the next update.
Which is really an interesting play.
Yeah, so now
respect it. Teased.
Yeah, exactly. It's an hour long tease. And now if people want to go check it out, it's out there and they can go find it. Or they can wait for the 12 o'clock Sports Center and hear it from me.
I'll say this. I am interested to hear and see where Wisconsin, if they are ranked, where they're ranked. So you have me hooked. I won't be, because I'm teeing off at noon, I won't be able to, but can you text me that update as you get the update?
So if I may, I guess I'm a little curious. It is out there now.
Yep, I'm looking it up right now. So I guess
I have it in front of me.
We can spoil.
Yeah, but do you want to spoil such a great tease? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I do, actually. I think I do want to spoil a great tease. Well, they're not first.
Georgia?
Georgia, number one.
Yeah.
Ohio State, two.
Yeah, everybody is very high on Ohio State right now.
Very high on their defense, too, which is interesting.
Texas, three. Your first Big Ten team checks in at four, the Oregon Ducks.
Isn't Ohio State still in the Big Ten?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Yes, Ohio State. Thank you for the correction. I was just excited to call Oregon a Big Ten
team. I'm just wondering.
I
know there's a ton of realignment. I didn't know if Ohio State had realigned also.
They moved to the SEC. Alabama, five. Ole Miss, six. Another Big Ten team, Penn State, seven.
So that's the first Big Ten team in there, Penn State.
Okay. Notre Dame, eight. Now we're to the first Big
Ten team.
Now we're to the first Big Ten team. Michigan, nine. And then Missouri, 10.
Doesn't it feel like Michigan is just in for a big drop? Everything tells 100%. Me they're going to stink. Yeah, everything tells me they're going to drop. Not stink, but they're going to drop off precipitously.
Yeah, so many off-field distractions, too, just thrown on top of the fact that they're losing talent and Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. It's just not a good recipe.
No, it's not.
Other Big Ten teams, USC checks in at 22. And Iowa checks in at 25. And you know what that means?
No, Scott.
It means the Badgers are in the others receiving votes category.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm okay with that. This team has to prove a ton. And in the way the season played out last year, I have no problem at all with them not being ranked. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. And the hype and everything else, this is as good of a schedule as we've had, a home schedule here in forever, and go get it. I don't have one problem at all. First off, I think the preseason rankings are really dumb, but they're fun to set kind of that benchmark to where things are. And Wisconsin is obviously not viewed as a great team this year, at least as we sit here. What is it? August 12th, 10th, whatever day it is today. I don't know. 12th?
Today is the 12th. They received 15 votes. 15 votes.
I think it's fascinating. That's one less than Nebraska receives. Nebraska got 16 votes, which I
Nebraska's find always hype.
Ridiculous.
They love hype in Nebraska. They want it to be the 80s, man. People still want the 80s and 90s, and it's mm-hmm. just not. But that'll be a fun game. That'll be one of the fun road games, as well as USC. So It's exciting. College football, I think they said this is the last week without college football. We got a little pro preseason yet, but it's coming. The wave is coming, and I cannot wait for it.
Does that mean it's week zero? I still don't understand. Why
next
do we do
week
week
is week zero? And then the week Wisconsin plays, which will be two Fridays from now, will be, and I think week zero is that Ireland game or wherever they're playing overseas.
Dublin,
mate. So it's here, baby. Let's get it rolling. The fellas are back from Platteville. I think they're heading back today or tomorrow. So we're going. We're ready to roll. Let's go.
Great point by Ian in East Troy. Washington is also not ranked, and they played for the chip last year. Fascinating stuff. Only 23 votes. Only 23 votes for Washington.
Wow. Well, new coach lost half their team, lost a lot of top picks. So, yeah, I get it. It's even, I think, more so than ever, the college football with all of the moving parts, it is so much more year to year. You're still going to have your behemoths that it doesn't matter what happens, they're going to be there. It's going to be the Georgias, Texases, et cetera, et cetera. But it is such a fluid deal. And I think it's going to be, you saw it last year and you hope this is the year, but you just, if you're a Wisconsin or one of the non-top like blue bloods, you just have to catch it one or two years because other teams are going to be down. And this might be one of those years. I don't necessarily know how stacked. I know Georgia's stacked. Going to always be tough, but it just shows you that the fact that the national champs or the national runner-ups are not even ranked out. Also, that in the old college football, this wouldn't have happened.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, Tausch, I want to get to something that Aaron Rodgers says in Ian O'Connor's upcoming book. They have put out some snippets, some clips from the book, a preview, if you will. And he is scheduled to appear, Ian O'Connor, not Aaron Rodgers, is scheduled to appear later in the week on our program. But I want to get to that coming up. But before we do that, now that we've got you back, I'm also really struggling with big tech because I went from 5G on my iPhone to one bar to SOS. So I have no cellular service.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm a little worried if you lose me. But I'm wondering, like, is there something wrong with my phone? Or what's more likely? My phone has gone kaput or... we have a major outage in Green Cyber Bay for all Verizon. Yes, exactly. A CrowdStrike situation, part two. But Riley asked me a question that I want to get to with you before we get to Rodgers and then Will Riley, and then I leave you prematurely to go to Matt LaFleur and the coaches. And that is, what did you think about the defense? We really didn't talk, as we took positives and negatives at the beginning of the show, a whole lot about the defense. And vanilla schmanilla. Like, I know that Matt LaFleur and Riley brought this up, you know, said that Halfley had a very short call sheet. But the bottom line is, I wanted to see the play style. And for me, as I told Riley while you were gone, I saw what I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see big guys up front getting aggressive and getting up the field. That happened. I wanted to see a defensive back force a turnover. That happened. What about you as you watched the defense, even with a limited playbook and a limited amount of time that the starters spent on the field?
Yeah, I think you just wanted to see what you've been hearing about. You've heard the discussions, whether it's Kenny, Rashawn, it doesn't matter who on the defensive side of the ball, how excited they are. You wanted to see them play that way. And I know it was a limited rep count and, you know, they didn't have a lot of their preferred starters going. So you can poo-poo it all you want. But the fact that guys were getting up the field and it felt like in the backfield making a bunch of plays, two TFLs and a sack for LVN. You saw Devontae Wyatt getting in the backfield and do it. And that was what I was hoping to see. And, you know, the other big thing and the one of the biggest complaints I think all of us heard about Joe Barry was, why are you playing so soft on coverage? You saw... You know, Keyshawn Nixon got beat a couple times on some routes, but I just wanted to see guys get in They're up in their grill and make these make the offense make a play. Don't give it to people. If they earn it, great. And I sense that that was the direction that we're going. And I think for all of us Packer fans that are hoping for more turnovers and for more aggressive play, I don't think anyone should be discouraged by what they saw. I think that is the goal. That was what Jeff Hafley put out there. And I think the players responded to it. So I was very pleased with what we saw. And I think now, can you build off of it? Can you do it consistently? And do you continue to rotate and find guys that can make those plays? Because if you can, I think all of us are going to be really happy with what we're going to end up seeing as a result of this aggressiveness.
You tend to talk me down when I get a little too excited about some players. I don't know if that'll work on the Grant Dubois, as you like to call him, Smitty Dubois. But should fans be, again, based on a handful? I mean, he played more extensively than some of the other starters did. But should fans be excited about the glimpse they got from Devontae Wyatt, a former first-round pick who is – who has had some flash moments, but not a whole lot of them, having back-to-back plays where he gets quarterback pressures. One leads to a sack for Lucas Van Ness. Is that enough to say, okay, this might really truly fit his skill set like he's been saying it does? Is there reason to be excited about him, or is it still wait and see?
Well, I think it should still be wait and see, but you wanted to at least see something. And again, if he didn't have a ton of pressure plays, would we be talking about it? I don't think so. But the fact that he did do some things, and the fact that Lucas Van Ness, who I think we all are expecting to have a breakout campaign, that's you're just starting to see these seedlings kind of start growing out of the dirt. And you're hoping by the end of it, you got some beautiful plants that are going to lead to a championship. And right now you're seeing – you know, the nurturing and the growth that you're hoping for, but it's early. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be some cold spells, or maybe there's going to be a big wet tropical storm type thing that comes through. And can you rebuild it? Those are all of the things that you can deal with, but all you can judge off is what you see. And what we saw the other night was, that looks different, man. I think even last year he was aggressive. But I think maybe it was just he had to think a little bit more than you want a defensive guy to think. You want guys just to go. I think we saw that. And I think that is the biggest positive of it. Now, staying healthy and doing it consistently and what you're asking from a first-round pick is for this guy to be a dog and to be a guy. And he has to prove that over and over. But certainly you could take what you saw Saturday and say, this is a good start.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, I don't know what their offensive line situation was. It looked like they kept most of their offensive line starters out as well that didn't play. So, again, maybe it was just circumstantial. But there's no denying that they need – talk about need it or don't need it. They need Devontae Wyatt to play like a first-round pick. And because I think you saw this during the game, they rotate quickly. And it's almost like a hockey line change with that front – four. Like they want to be able to have guys go like a hockey player does really hard for as long as that shift lasts and then sub them out so they can catch their breath and then go back in. That's going to be the case with Kenny Clark. It's going to be the case with all these guys.
Well, and in fairness, if I see that and I'm the Philadelphia Eagles or some of these other teams, I'm going to think, all right, that's how you want to approach it. We're going to tempo the hell out of you. So that's going to be that interesting battle. And, you know, the beautiful part is I think it's fair to say that depth-wise, and at least on the surface, I'm guessing Jeff Hafley's like, man, you got a lot of tools to play with. Just like on the receiver side of it, you like, all right, I have to make sure I'm getting guys reps. I got to keep guys engaged. And everybody wants to rush the passer. How you rotate guys and give opportunities is really important from an engagement standpoint of keeping these guys happy, because the happier they are, the harder they're going to play. And that's finding these roles that are going to fit along with figuring out how teams are going to approach combating that, which I'm going to guess right now, you know, if I'm watching this and I'm hearing what Halfley's saying, we got all these guys, we're going to rotate in like hockey lines. Great. Well, we're going to keep you out there. We're going to tempo the heck out of you. And we're going to see how you hold up. That's the fun part of this.
The other fun part of it is you're at a golf outing today to support the Boys and Girls Club up in Door County. I'm guessing there might be one, or maybe last night there was one or two Coors Lights enjoyed during this trip.
I did have a great Coors Light last night. I got to head back tonight, so I'm not 100% sure. I do have a driver, so we shall see. But you know
what?
The Coors Lights. You know, it's my wife. She could drive. Oh, okay. That's the case, too. Okay. So Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill in those mountains. You make sure they're blue. That's when you know those cans or bottles are chilled to perfection. That's why there's always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado.
Yeah, that was back when we had that cat who needed the major surgery, and you were going to have me be your driver slash butler, and you were going to call me fun. Jeeves all the time. Good to know that you don't have a real driver, that you just have your wonderful wife. All right, I do want to get to this. I know we don't talk about him very often, but this new book is coming out, an unauthorized biography. But Rogers sat down with Ian O'Connor with lengthy interviews. His family talked to Ian O'Connor, but he talks about immunized. We'll talk about it next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. The headline on ESPN.com, Aaron Rodgers says he regrets 2021 comment that he was, quote, immunized. Tausch, I guess.
Did they say anything about a reporter not following up, or is that not part of it?
No, there was no mention of that. Again. Yeah. I mean, maybe it is in the book, not in the summary of this. But again, for those that don't listen every day, and we have not talked about Aaron Rodgers in a long time, when we used to talk about him seemingly every day. But when he made that comment in response to Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette asking him if he was vaccinated, and he said, "I was immunized," as I have said many times, having done the radio show with him for 4 years, knowing how he is about words, I knew that he chose that word for a reason, instantly. Now, in one of my biggest regrets of my career, I allowed my relationship with him to affect how I did my job, which I don't think happened very often, but I have no problem owning it in that instance. So what I did, instead of saying what I should have said, which was, "I'm sorry, Aaron, you always choose your words carefully. Why would you say immunized when Ryan asked you if you were vaccinated?"
Well, that'd been a great follow-up.
It would have been, yeah. It's the follow-up that should have been asked. Mm-hmm. And what I tried to do instead, and I have since told him this, because I was really pissed about the way he handled the Joe Rogan interview, and he made it sound like I was... He didn't say me by name in that instance either, but made it sound like I was trying to ask him a gotcha question with my follow-up. And instead, if you go back and listen, I used the word vaccinated like three times in my question. I'm talking about how Kirk Cousins has said he's not getting vaccinated, but he's going to be in like a hermetically sealed box in quarterback meetings. And I used the word vaccinated over and over again because I wanted him, I was hoping he would clarify, "Hey, I didn't say vaccinated, I said immunized, let me explain." And that is not his fault, that is mine. I should have just asked the question the way I just told you I should have. So I own that, I wear that. So I've seen a couple of people send me this story saying, "Well, maybe, you know, it looks like you're getting an apology." No. here's the quote from the book. "If there's one thing I wish could have gone different, it's that," meaning the immunized quote. because that's the only thing critics could hit me with. So basically, he regrets it not because it was misleading, but because it gave his critics ammunition.
Wow.
He goes on to explain that it was the crux of his appeal, that he had gotten a homeopathic immunization protocol from his doctor. I don't know if it was Dr. Tor Lechner from the Seinfeld episode or what. But he claims that he was allergic to polyethylene glycol, which was in a couple of the different vaccines. Again, this is not a vaccination show, but here's the quote. But if I could do it again, I would have said blank that appeal. I'm just going to tell them that I'm allergic to PEG. I'm not getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'm not going to be vaxxed, Rogers says in the book. Now, again, for me, that's personal because I was the one who asked the follow-up question, Tausch. I'm not all that interested in relitigating that at all. What I am interested in is in a couple of other clips or previews of the book, blurbs, if you will, including, and again, Ian's going to be on the show coming up in a few days, but the estrangement between him and his family, the story of his grandfather, who was a World War II pilot, who he would talk about fairly regularly. And here are the other two that are highlighted in the CSPN story that I'm curious what you think of. First, why Rodgers was upset by Packers coach Mike McCarthy during his most devastating defeat, the 2014 NFC Championship game collapse at Seattle. Rodgers wanted to call six plays he had seen on film that seemed indefensible when Dallas beat the Seahawks in the regular season. One veteran Packers player said Rodgers wanted those plays called over and over against Seattle, and McCarthy called only a few of them one time each. Tausch, second-guessing your coach 10 years after the game, your thoughts?
He's a complicated
player. I don't think it was 10 years. I'm guessing the flight back and the devastation of that loss lingered, and I'm sure the relationship never was probably the same after that. And that happens when you have gut punches like that game. So, listen, we all know Aaron is strong-willed. He has opinions, and I think he views himself as being right more often than not. I don't know if that's the nicest way I could say that, but that's where he's at. And he's earned the right to have his opinion. That doesn't mean it's always right. So when you factor all this in, I think it's going to be a fascinating read. I think the, combination of talking about his family and having his family sit down with Ian will be really interesting. And yeah, that loss stained, as you put it many times, that's a legacy killer, because Mike McCarthy is a two-time Super Bowl champ. He's a Hall of Famer. Ted Thompson, same thing. Aaron is looked at differently if he's got two. He's still going to be a lightning rod for criticism, because I think he brings that on. That's just, I think he likes that. But it's a whole different animal when you start talking about two championships compared to one. And as we've seen over the last 13 or 14 years with this team putting itself in position to win year after year, not getting that one when you had everything kind of lined up, it's one of those pains that just won't leave. It dulls as time elapses, but obviously Aaron still, and he should, everybody that was on that team is going to feel that kind of way, because you knew you were a better team and you played better, but you didn't close up shop. And there's a lot of blame that goes around on it, but a lot of it always comes back to the head football coach.
Speaking of the head football coach, last thing from the blurbs from the advanced copy of this book. Ex-San Francisco 49ers coach Mike Nolan, who drafted Alex Smith instead of Rodgers with the first overall pick in 2005, is, quote, still bothered that his offensive coordinator, McCarthy, benefited most from that decision. McCarthy had a lot to do with picking the other guy, Smith. And in the end, he got the one, Rodgers, that he didn't pick, and it elevated his career, Nolan says in the book. What?
What a loser's mentality that is.
I mean, really?
Like, I hope he's not direct quoted with that, because I don't know if he's coaching in this league anymore. There is nothing. So I've always thought one of the lamest things I've heard is Bill Polian saying he would have drafted Tom Brady in the first round if he didn't have Peyton Manning, or something to that effect, that he had him graded as a first round pick. Well, come on. Everybody does that. But this, you're the head football coach. They're not, they're going to take input from the offensive coordinator, but it's your job to give your input to the GM too. And to act as petty, it just shows you that coaches and players, we all think that there's this different human nature side, and there is in a competitive, like crazy competitiveness streak. But when it comes to personal feelings and pettiness and jealousy and all of the other stuff that we think sometimes athletes are immune from, that right there. And again, I want to make sure that that quote is directly from
it Mike is. Nolan. There are quote marks around it, sir.
If it is, that is one of the saddest things I've ever heard a football coach say. And that you're pissed that somebody else benefited from a decision that it wasn't Mike McCarthy saying, we're drafting this guy. I don't care what, how you go through it. You're going to take input from all of your coaches and a coordinator.
Uh-huh.
But you're the head. You talk about the opposite of Truman and Up. That is, I don't know who the exact opposite of Truman is, but Mike Nolan would be in that category.
Mike Nolan is still coaching. He is the reigning UFL.
Awesome. The Jets quality assistant would be really good.
He is the reigning UFL coach of the year after leading the Michigan Panthers to a 7-3 record last season.
Kudos to him. Didn't he coach with Mike down in Dallas, and then their defense stunk and they fired him?
I believe so. The Panthers blew an 18-3 halftime lead and lost to the Birmingham Stallions in the conference championship this spring. So, he was the defensive coordinator for one season. He lasted 368 days as the defensive coordinator after the Cowboys went 6-10 season.
So Mike Nolan was so irritated and pissed that Mike McCarthy benefited from that decision
that he took a job from him.
Take a defensive coordinator job from him. That tells you everything you need to know about Mike Nolan.
Everything. That and the fact that the Cowboys gave up a franchise record 473 points. So maybe he was just wicked clever, and he was trying to get Mike McCarthy fired to get back at him.
Saboteur. He came in as a saboteur.
That's exactly where I was going.
He gets inside there to saboteur Mike McCarthy, but he ended up sabotaging himself.
Very, very, very frustrating.
All right.
Why would Mike Nolan put those quotes out there until he's writing his own book? What on earth is he doing?
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll ask Ian O'Connor that when he joins us. All right, I need to get ready to go to the press conferences. Tausch, you need to tell us about AmFam before we get to Will Riley.
Indeed, to Packer fans, Dream Drive is back. Come on down to Lambeau Field to kick off another year of big smiles in less than a mile, starting July 22nd and going all the way through camp, which is starting to wind down. Little Packer fans can ride between Lambeau and training camp with their own bike or on one from the American Family Insurance fleet, right alongside your favorite coaches and players of the pack. American Family Insurance continues to support this heartwarming event, mobilizing the community to realize their dreams as they ride safe and protected. Join American Family Insurance for another historic year as we keep the tradition moving. Grab your wheels and let's ride Green Bay. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
Will Riley is next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Matt LaFleur is going to talk in about 5 minutes, so I'm going to get down to the media auditorium for that, and then Adam Stenovich and the offensive offensive coaching staff follows. So I'll stick around for the first question of Woe Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Alrighty, guys. First question for you before Jason has to leave. So, as I mentioned earlier, this past Saturday, I was kind of doing double duty, watching the Packers preseason game and watching the United States men's team defeat France to take the gold medal match. I was at a bar on State Street, and when Steph Curry hit those 4 threes in that like minute and a half span, the place was just going bonkers. Like, it was so fun being at the bar, kind of having that camaraderie, watching a sporting event together. I've had that experience with Badger games, Packer games, and Brewers games before as well. So I want to ask you guys, what is the best place to watch a sporting event? I'm sure you've had this question before, but if you had to choose, are you going with your house, going with a bar, the venue itself? Are you at the game? Where do you want to be if you're watching a sporting event?
Yeah, press box. I mean,
where? The juice box?
Press box.
Clever.
I think there's watching it at a bar. I remember watching the Diamondbacks Brewers series right after I got done playing. I had finished a round of golf, and we went to a local watering hole and watching, I think it was Morgan. What was his nickname?
Niger Morgan.
Yep, Tony Plush.
That whole thing unfold, and just being in the bar with everybody and everybody going crazy was so cool. I had not, I've been playing for a long time, obviously, but I still think there's nothing better. I prefer watching games at the house because I want to be comfortable and chill, but there's just nothing like being in the stadium and feeling all that energy. That's the best. So if I'm picking, energy, bring me big energy. You can find it at bars. You can find it at your house if you have people over. But man, there's just nothing like in the moment, live. If you can stay off your phone and actually watch it and embrace it, I don't think there's anything better than just being live at that actual sporting event.
All right, press box or my basements? Those are my answers. I'm off to Matt LaFleur. You guys take it home, boys. Take
good
care.
All righty. Have a great day, Jason. And there he goes. He's still on, technically. And now he is officially gone. I'm going to have to switch the camera after the fact. We're going to stare at a still image of Jason's face the rest of the segment. Okay, Tausch, just you now. So, I don't know if you tuned into Sunday Karma this past Sunday, yesterday, I guess, but Good Karma Brand CEO Craig Karmazin had some very interesting things to say about the Brewers. He was very bullish on them, and he said that it's a fluke, quote-unquote, that the Brewers haven't made the World Series yet. What are your thoughts on that statement? Do you agree with Craig that it is a fluke that the Brewers haven't made a World Series yet?
No. And I know it's never great business to disagree with your CEO, but I don't fully understand. They've only been, from an NLCS standpoint, I was at Game 7 against the Dodgers, and there was nothing fluky about that game. Like, the Dodgers hit the heck out of it and put up a bunch, I think, in the sixth inning.
Yep.
As far as, you're in position as many times as they've been, but I think this is always one of the things that a small market team is up against, is your mentality that you can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the year they traded Josh Hader was the year it was where things imploded.
Yep.
You have such a small window to actually do it. And now with having to win play-in games or winning series, they've had a couple of opportunities that they've fallen short on. But to say it's a fluke that they haven't won, I think that's a bit strong. I think it's I think it's disappointing, but is there the fluky thing? If you wanted to look at flukes, you could look back and say, okay, losing at home with your Green Bay against Tampa, or losing against Seattle when you're up big.
Yep.
Those things fell the wrong way. I don't think there's a play where you could look at it and say, if this one play went differently, the Brewers would be World Series champs. Show me that play. Show me the series of plays.
Yeah.
And I'd be more open to maybe agreeing with it.
See, so what he brought up is, and he didn't say the Brewers winning a World Series. He said the Brewers getting to a World Series. Just getting
okay,
there.
Okay, well, that's different.
Yep.
Okay.
And he brought up, it was the wild card game against the Padres. Josh Hader came in, had been shut down all year. And then you have that broken bat single, and then the base hit to Trent Grisham where he just lets it go under his glove. And the Brewers implode after that. The Padres go on, I believe, to the NLCS that year. They didn't make the World Series. But then you have the Washington Nationals game. There, can't remember if there are any fluky plays, but that Game 7 against the Dodgers, I remember Chris Taylor made that absurd backwards sliding catch kind of over the shoulder.
It was a great play.
Onto the warning track. I don't know if you could call that fluky, but that's a really, really tough play that not every outfielder makes.
Listen, is it bad luck? I think, I guess if you want to misconstrue bad luck with fluky, I could get on board.
What's the difference in your mind between bad luck and fluky?
Fluky is like, oh gosh, that's, it's just really unfortunate. I guess you're kind of mincing words, but I just don't look, again, I can't think back to if this one thing happened, the Brewers would now, again, I thought it was win the World Series.
Okay.
To be in a World Series, the Dodgers series, the kid made a great play.
Mm-hmm.
But you still gave up a ton of runs. And it's just, you're always going to be up against it. I think in any sport to win it, I don't care if you have the biggest payroll, things still have to go your way. And I think the Brewers.
Taush? Oh, there you go. Still there, Taush?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. You just cut out for
I'm
a
here.
Second.
Yep.
Yep. Just making sure because I can't see you. But anyways, last question for you now. I understand what you're saying on the Brewers. Hopefully this is the year. I think they got a shot this year. But last question for you. On Friday, me and my buddy went to the Wisconsin State Fair. Went and watched one of my favorite bands, Gaelic Storm, live. They're fantastic, an Irish folk band. Amazing live and in concert. Would highly recommend going to see them. But Taush, when you're going to the state fair, county fair, any fair, what is the first thing that you're doing when you get there? Going to get a funnel cake? Going to check out the animals? What are you doing?
I'm an animal guy.
Okay.
I'm an animal guy. I showed, I don't know if you know this,
whoa,
I showed a steer.
Okay.
At the Wood County Fair. If I was really on it and set up at the office or something, I'd get you that picture. You could post it.
Could put it on.
But that was something that I did, and I'm a big fan of swine. I think I just saw a champion pig. I don't know how heavy it was. It was like 1,500 pound pig.
How much did it go for?
I'm fascinated by animals. That I don't remember.
Don't
remember how much the pig weighed. I just remember it was a big old pig.
That's a hefty sow.
The animals are what makes the fair. I think otherwise you're just looking at an amusement park. If you're just going for the Ferris wheel or the Gravitron, the reason it's called a county fair or a state fair is because there's animals there.
Yep.
That is the descriptor or the deciding factor on what makes a fair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going.
Okay. I actually had to explain that. My buddy was from Chicago, so he's never been to a fair in his life. And I had to explain to him that exact point that the animals are the reason this exists. And because we were walking by the, I believe it was the dairy barn, and he wasn't a fan of the smell, not used to it, from Chicago. And that was just, it was fascinating to me that he had never heard of a fair, never been to a fair, and didn't know why the fair exists. I actually was fortunate enough back at the Rock County 4-H Fair to help my friend show his goats. So I understand where you're coming from. It's pretty fun. You and my dad would probably get along. He showed pigs as a kid as well back for the Milton 4-H crew there, but good to know animals, where you're going. And as the music wraps up, that is all I have for you, Taush.
What's the food? What is the food choice that you had to get at the – I mean, everybody goes cream puff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you did, or did you go outside the box?
No, I went – so I went for the first time to the state fair last year, and they have two food trucks called Wisconsin Hot Cheese. I go for the mozzarella sticks every year, $12. You get like 8 mozzarella sticks. They're so good. Best fried cheese I have ever had. Would highly recommend. Got to go to the Wisconsin Hot Cheese truck.
All right, hot cheese trucks and Irish Gaelic bands.
Yep.
That's what you're going to get when you see Riley at the state fair. Wildy and Tausch, Jason down with Matt LaFleur. We've talked a bunch of stuff today, the positives and negatives of it. We'll hear if Matt LaFleur has anything super interesting to say before we wrap up today's episode of Wildy and Tausch. We'll be back in 4.5 minutes to close up the show.
I'm done with you begrudgers, you pushers and you shovers, the scurrying, the worrying, I'm gonna have some fun.
What is this? The state fair with Riley Yauch?
Yeah, it is.
That's
Gaelic
I'm
Storm.
I'm assuming that's the Irish Gaelic band that you're referencing to. So I'm getting ready to head out to go play a little golf up here in Door County at the Boys and Girls Club outing. Jason is down at Matt LaFleur's presser. So any injury updates from Matt LaFleur down there with the press guys, Riley?
Yes, actually. Matt LaFleur said he is uncertain if Jordan Morgan, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper will return to practice this week. Quote, unquote, we'll see where they're at, he said. So
well, we shall see where they're at. And again, this week is going to be, you know, all about the kicking competition, where that thing is headed. And Jordan Love's not going to play on Sunday. When you come out as clear as you did after the game. So I think all in all, for the first week, I think all Packer fans, in summing up what our positives and negatives were today, this team's going to be a Super Bowl contender, hopefully a champion. But the defense, you saw the signs of it. You saw the budding. And offensively, it could not have went better. So now you're heading out to Denver. You're going to try and reboot that and get some more good work in, as we're only 25 days away from when the Green Bay Packers head down to Sao Paulo to play the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
We'll hear more on that tomorrow. We'll get into all of the stuff Matt LaFleur had to say today. We'll get into the Aaron Rodgers book. And I don't know what else we're going to get into, but Riley, we appreciate you stepping into the breach.
Of course.
For the last couple of days, you've done a fantastic job as usual. Jesse may or may not be back tomorrow. We will be.
One
Jason
can hope.
And I will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Thanks again for joining us for the ride. And as Jason said, I'm just going to say be good. We'll see you tomorrow.